Ion, just working? Yeah, things have changed. I have my personalized water bottle. That's treatment. Praise the Lord. Turn with me. We're going to look at about four sets of scriptures today, starting Genesis and in Revelation. You know how that works. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. When God created it all, He put within creation the power to reproduce. Within every seed is a miracle. They have a mystery because they have to be buried to live. They have within in themselves the power to break through. They break out of a shell, and every seed is a little miracle because when they break out, they become something totally new. We've got an apple tree in our backyard, and Barbara had it planted a few years ago, and it was this skinny little thing about 4 feet tall. And anybody who knows Barbara knows that she's a gardener, you know. One of my neighbors says Barbara doesn't have a green thumb, she has a green arm. She grows flowers and fruits and vegetables in the desert. She watered that little tree and she fertilized it. She has this secret sauce that she uses, put all over it. She prayed over that thing. She talked to that little tree, told her its purpose and its destiny. Watch that thing grow. There's actually a little insight into her secret sauce. I'm going to ask her to come and share it in a little bit, and you guys know what a little bit means, but. Year two, there were a few little apples on that tree. The third year, there were 30 to 50. Then it was about 200. Last year, there was about 400 or 500 apples on that tree. And you guys ask, how do you know? Guess who gets to pick those apples? Barbara's servant. That's right. Whoever said that was right. This year, the weight of the apples is so heavy that the branches are hanging low on it. But that tree came from a seed. One seed. You know, you and I can cut open an apple. And we count the seeds inside an apple. If I were to cut this apple open, there might be 4, 5, 8, maybe even 10 seeds in here. We can count the seeds in an apple. But only God knows how many apples are in a seed. Only God knows how many apples are in this. By the way, I am high tech. This is my PowerPoint. For the day. Jesus taught us apples. This is bad to make me only preach with one hand. So today I want to talk about five things times whatever else multiplies while I'm speaking. I want to talk about the Word of God as a seed. You, the people of God, are a seed. Jesus is the heavenly seed. There's an incorruptible seed that's inside of you. And I want to talk about some seeds that are in this church and in this city. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus spoke in the parable. He said, "The sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. and birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they didn't have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. Jesus explained the parable in verse 18. He said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside or by the hard ground. He who received on stony places is he who hears the word and receives it with joy immediately. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles or is offended. He who receives the seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and he who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. In Luke's gospel, it says the good ground is an honest and a noble heart. By the way, when they say your best sermon ever, for me, that's the one I'm preaching today. I might not live another day. You know what I mean? I need to do a good job today. And I think using Jesus is a good launching pad. So Jesus is the sower of the seed. How many know that he's a good sower? Okay? The word of God is good seed. How many know it's good seed? That's the written word. That's the promises that God has given to you, the dreams that he's painted inside of your heart. That's the prophetic word of God. All of those things are seeds that have been planted inside of you. The enemy wants to steal the seed. There is a devil who's a liar and a cheat and a thief, and he wants to rob out of your life what God wants to do in your life. And we need to be aware that there is an enemy. And the soil is the human heart. The heart condition determines the fruitfulness of the seed. The condition of the heart determines the fruitfulness of the seed. So, you know, I now am no longer the quote-unquote lead pastor of a church, and I'm functioning more in my gifting and equipping as being a kind of a prophetic voice. And so I have a new job description. And my job description is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So I want to ask a few questions this morning about the heart condition, because we need to ask ourselves questions every once in a while. See, the hard ground is, do I want to understand? Do we want the Word of God to become part of us? Will we put it into practice? And will we apply it? I've preached enough sermons to know that people have heard the word of God over and over and over again. And so our real question is am I applying what I'm hearing? Where there's no desire for understanding, the devil will steal the seed. You can sit and listen. Oh, yeah, that's good. Preach it, Pastor. Amen. But if I don't want to understand this word, the enemy is going to rob me and steal the seed and keep me off course. That's what will happen. It'll happen to all of us at any date. So this hard ground thing, we need to say, God, help me understand the word of God. Amen? Say that with me. God, help me understand the word of God. The stony ground, here's some more questions. Do I live out of my emotions or do I live out of conviction? They receive the word, oh man, I'm excited about this. I can get up and down and I've got goosebumps. I've got all this other stuff. But it says here that there's going to be some problems. Trials are going to come and tests are going to come. And if we don't have roots, we will get offended. I was listening to a guy who teaches on offense all the time. A couple weeks ago, we were doing a conference together, and he said this to me. The percentage of people that leave churches because of minor issues is very small. Over 60% of people who leave churches unrighteously leave because they got offended. Wow. This church got quiet. You haven't become Presbyterian, have you? No. I'm just kidding. Listen to me. We will get offended. Jesus, in the old King James, says this, it must needs that offenses come. Has anybody ever been offended in church? Come on, wave your hand at me. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Listen, I'm the pastor. I've been offended more than once. Listen to me. You need to be offended. Well, that doesn't sound fair. Jesus said, you need to be offended so that you can learn how to forgive, how to put this word into practice, how to live it out in practical ways so that you're not just living out of your emotions, but you got some conviction and some backbone so that you will stand when the days of tests and trials come. See, are we living out of our emotions or out of convictions? The thorny ground is who and what has control over us. See, when we hear, do we obey? Do we let the distractions that are in the world and the pursuit of a materialistic lifestyle choke the word of God? Jesus said only one time first. You must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You have to pursue the king and his kingdom. First thing, if you're pursuing anything else, you are allowing the word of God to be choked in your life, and it can become ineffective. And listen, I'm prophesying with my eyes open today. God wants you and I to be fruitful people. He doesn't want the word of God being choked. He wants it to be powerful. The word is powerful. No matter how I respond, the word of God is powerful. But if I'll let God deal with my heart and position myself in the right place, the word of God will become powerful in me and through me. Amen? So the thorny ground, he's got to have first place. You know, Brian, last week, he's either your Lord or he's not anything. I'm just repeating what's been preached around here. The good ground is an honest and receptive heart. We cannot be unforgiving and bitter and be receptive. We cannot be judgmental, critical, and cynical and be receptive. To have good ground that's fruitful, we have got to get honest, which means we take our masks off. We got to get honest with God. How many know that he knows where you're at? You know, when God said to Adam, where you're at, you know, he wasn't saying it because he didn't know where Adam was. He was saying it because he wanted Adam to know that he knew where Adam was and that he was the solution to Adam's problem. So we got to get honest. We have to get honest with ourselves. I had no conversation with Matt, but I'm telling you, that was outstanding. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to the person in the mirror. Get honest. If you hurt, say it. If you're angry, confess it. Listen to me. If you don't confess it, it'll get worse. And it'll get worse when you don't want it to. It'll come out of you when you least expect it. You say, Steve, how do you know that? I read that in a book somewhere. The book that God's writing on the walls of my heart. Listen, get honest about stuff. Get honest with other believers. There's nothing wrong with having a need. You don't have to have it all together to be a follower of Jesus. In fact, the ones that tell me they have it all together kind of scare me. And then we got to be honest with the world that we're living in. We all are a mess. Three honest people here. Said we're all a mess. We all got some issues. You know, everybody's got problems except for me and thee, and I'm not so sure about. Listen, we all have some issues. And when we'll get honest, we'll find out that God will help us and the Word of God will become powerful in us and through us. Amen? See, we all need God. So let's get honest. Let's take the garbage out. Let's get the seed inside of us. Let it get from our head to our heart and become powerful. That's my point number one. Point number two is this. We are to become powerful seed. Jesus spoke to him in another parable. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. He put forth to them, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And the servants said, do you want us to go then and gather them up? He said, don't, because if you gather up the tares, you will also uproot the wheat with them. If you study wheat and tares and do the research on it, they look exactly the same. Has anybody ever seen a counterfeit $4 bill? No, because we don't have $4 bills. You understand? Okay. The tares look the same until harvest time, and their fruit is bitter and poisonous. So he's saying, leave them there. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I'm going to say to the reapers, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 37, he interprets this. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons or the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. The Greek word is angelos, which means messengers. Therefore, the tares are gathered, burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out angels, and they'll gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, cast them into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing, gnashing of teeth. Isn't that exciting? And the righteous will shine forth as the sun in his kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus sows the good seed. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Say this with me. The Bible is seed. The Word of God is seed. When it gets in you, you are seed. You are powerful seed. There's something mighty inside of you. Inside of you is the power to reproduce and multiply. That's what's in you. The enemy, the devil, sows counterfeit seed. The good seed is planted in the world. You're not planted there to just wither up and die. You're actually planted there to have influence and to bear fruit. You are in the business place. You're in the educational place. You're in the medical place. You're wherever you are, wherever you're serving, wherever your job is, that's your calling and that's your vocation. And do it for the glory of God and be a fruitful person. Jesus has planted you there to be influential. And he is more concerned about the power of the good seed than he is the activity of the devil. Come on, let's pull the tear out. He said, leave them alone. Listen, they're counterfeit. And when the real shows up, the counterfeit doesn't have a chance. He's more concerned about the good seed than he is the activity of the devil. You are the good seed of the kingdom of God. And you have far greater influence and more potential than you realize. Do I need to say that again? You hear me? You are the good seed. God said it's good. You're good. Well, no, I'm not good. No, there's something good in you. God put it inside of you. He said it was good. So quit arguing with him. It's good seed. You have far greater influence and far more potential than you realize. Supernatural forces will be released to protect the good seed. He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. He'll look out for you. Supernatural forces will bring destruction to the enemy. See, God intends to do amazing things in you and through you. Let me help you understand the times we're living in. They're messy, and you were created for today. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You shouldn't have been living when Moses was here. You should be living today. You were created by God to have great influence today. You were born for today. You were born for this hour. You were brought into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Am I talking to the right people this morning? I want to startle you. I want to stir you up. You're not called to be some lethargic thing. Oh, I'm just surviving and Jesus, get me out of here. Get rid of that selfish attitude and say, here I am, God, fill me and use me. Amen? You were born for today. God has a purpose for you. He has plans for you. Somebody would have told me when I was a 24-year-old, brokenhearted, beat up, drunken pothead, that I would travel the world and preach and prophesy and stir people up and give the devil a hard time all over this planet. I'd have thought you were crazy. I told my founding pastor that, my first pastor, where I'd been, what I'd done. I said, Pastor Norris, if anybody would have ever told me that I'd be doing these things, nobody would have ever believed it. He said, Steve, I'd have never believed it. Listen to me. You were created for a purpose. There is a destiny on your life. God will send supernatural forces, do miracles for you to accomplish what he wants to in you and through you. You were created for today. You have been chosen to be a difference maker for the glory of God. You are powerful seed. So we got the word of God is seed. You are seed. Here's the one that makes it all happen. Jesus is the heavenly seed. Jesus himself said this, that the hour is coming that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, which means to attend to others, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Jesus, he came from heaven. He is the divine Son of God. He lived a sinless life. He willingly laid down his life and died a brutal death. Jesus, the heavenly sin seed, became sin for you and I. He went into the ground and he rose from the dead. And listen, that act over 2,000 years ago is still bearing fruit. That's the most powerful seed that's ever been on the planet. That seed is the seed that absolutely changes the lives of people. The heavenly seed. Jesus left his place, came to this place, took our place, was buried, rose again so we can go to his place with him. Listen, That's the most powerful seed that any of us should be focusing on all the time. Christ died for humanity. And all over the nations today, the fruit of his work is still going on. I know that we think there's just this little amount of people. If anybody here is intellectual, wants to study something, there's a book called The Coming Christendom that explains what's happening globally. There are over 800 million born again, spirit-filled people who believe in speaking in tongues, praying for the sick, casting out demons, and raising the dead on the planet alive today. And it's growing by the thousands in the nations of the earth. Jesus, the heavenly seed, is bearing fruit. I don't know about you, but when I understand that, I understand this, that you and I are part of the fastest growing, most powerful religious movement on the planet. You are. Oh, we're living in America. Listen, America is no longer the center of Christendom. America needs to humble itself and get on its face and cry out to God and return to its roots of Jesus being the Lord of their lives and quit running after materialism and start running after God and get back in the center of what God's doing on the planet. You know, this is not a political problem in our country. It's not Republican. It's not Democrat. It is a spiritual war, and the enemy is trying to snuff out the voice of believers, and we need to quit living by our emotions and get a spine and get some convictions and let the powerful seed of the Word of God come alive inside of us. Amen? Nations are coming to God. The powerful seed is producing fruit. Number four. This is point four. There's an incorruptible seed inside of you. 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. There's a seed inside of you and I that is incorruptible. It won't decay. It won't rot. It won't rust. It won't wear out. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It happens to be dwelling inside of you and I. Even, listen to me, even when we want to quit, it won't quit. Do you hear me? Even when you want to give up, it won't give up. It'll come alive. It's incorruptible. It is powerful. It is the living word of God. The inner man will become stronger and stronger and stronger. The pastor friend Neville Gritt in Sarasota, Florida, he greatly influenced my life. And Barbara and I went to our church, went to his church for a season. I think Andrew was dedicated there. He's a great man of God. We went to see him this year when we were in Florida. And he's got Parkinson's disease, and he's busted a hip, and he's in a wheelchair. And you know, it was so hard for me because he was always so strong and powerful to be there with him. And he's got some drool going down his beard, and he's talking with me, and my heart's just going out for him, you know. And then in the middle of our conversation, because you have to kind of track with him kind of slowly, then he said to me, Steve, he said this. He said, don't look at this body. It's just a shell. The inside is getting bigger and stronger every day because there's an incorruptible seed that's inside of me. He said to me, there's a great revival coming to the United States of America. I said, really, Neville? We lived through the Jesus People charismatic renewal together. He said, it's going to be stronger. It's going to be more powerful. He said, don't look at this, man. Look at this. It's growing. He said, I feel it in my bones. It was almost like this decayed body started coming alive and the word of God that's inside of him started coming out of him. Listen, our outer man will perish. The inner man will become stronger day by day. Why? Because the life of Jesus is inside of you. And that power is going to increase and shine brighter. I want you to pay attention now. If you haven't been paying attention, I want you to pay attention right now. Because there are some powerful seeds in this church. By the way, I want to say that Pastor Matt and Amber are doing an awesome job of leading this church into the future. He has more vision inside of him than I've ever had in my life. He was a little boy. I'd put him to bed at night. He'd say, you know what, Dad? And you know what? And you know what? And you know what? And I'd be trying to get out of the room. You know what, Dad? You know what? And I'd turn around and I'd say, you know what you got, Matt? And we'd say it together. Some imagination. He's got more vision inside of him. Amber, they have more vision than we ever even thought about having. And it's burning inside of his bones. And the seeds that we planted are going to be nothing compared to what goes on in the future of this place. And you know what I say about that? Yay, God. Let it happen. But cheer him on. We're going to be their biggest fans. So some of these powerful seeds that are inside of this church, there are seeds of prayer for the kingdom of God to invade this city. There are seeds of healing, physical, emotional, spiritual, and restoration. Seeds of healing and restoration. Seeds of salvation. Seeds of hunger for the presence of God, for supernatural revival. There are seeds of powerful praise and worship. There are seeds of a prophetic atmosphere and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to be people who hear from God. There's seeds of faith for miracles, seeds of agape love, seeds of making disciples, training leaders, unity, transformation of city-shaking revival, seeds of deliverance and spiritual warfare, and seeds of generosity. They're in this church. Now, how do you know that, Steve? Because Barbara and I planted them in here. We turned the ground upside down. We dug out the rocks for this day and for this hour. Amen. There are seeds in this city. Great seeds in this city. Seeds of a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit with all of the charisma, the charismatic manifestations. In the mid-70s, there were 60 to 70 prayer meetings a night going on in the city of Albuquerque. All over the city going on. Every denomination was affected by it. National leaders of the Catholic Charismatic Movement, Lutherans, several other mainline denominations, leaders of that movement came out of Albuquerque. I had a guy who was a retired engineer. Any retired engineers here? Guy who's a retired engineer, he said to me, Steve, there was fire all over the city of Albuquerque. You say, what does that have to do with today? Leviticus chapter 26, verse 10 says this. God, out of the old store, out of the old storehouse, comes the new. Now listen to me. God goes where he's been to bring out something new. I was in Ireland at a conference of Spirit-filled Anglicans over there, and I was talking to this guy that was the bishop, and I said to, I quoted that scripture to him. I said, there's seeds that go all the way back to Patrick in this island that God wants to raise up and turn into a mighty revival. I was just having a conversation in the parking lot with him, and I walked into this meeting a little bit late in the morning because of all the time changes and everything else, and I was just a guest there. And this guy said, he said, the bishop is quoting you. I said, quoting me? I just had a little conversation with him. He said, he's up there quoting Leviticus. He said, out of the old is going to come new. God's going to water these seeds. We're going to have a mighty revival in Ireland. You know what's going on in Ireland today? The churches are coming together. There's a harvest of souls coming in. The Spirit of God is being poured out because out of the old comes forth the new. Out of what's been here before will come something again. Why? Because there's powerful seed in the place. Seeds of evangelism. Seeds of unity. This desert is going to rejoice. It's going to blossom. There's going to be joy and singing. The weak will become strong. God will fight for you. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the lame shall leap. And that's just not the physical blind, it's the spiritual blind. And those who haven't even been willing to listen are going to listen because God is going to do something. The parched ground will become a pool. There will become a highway of holiness, and the redeemed of the Lord shall return. They'll come to Zion. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Several years ago, Barbara and I were driving through the desert, California, Arizona, New Mexico. There had been an unusual amount of rain, and the desert was blooming. The watered seeds came alive. It was amazing. Can the spiritual desert come alive? And can we help it come alive? Can we help the seed grow? I want Barbara to share something about her secret sauce here this morning.
Secret sauce. Well, it's not so secret, actually, but if you want a good garden, you got to do something with the soil. Here is kind of, you know, empty, so you got to put stuff in it. So part of the secret sauce that I use in my garden is good old-fashioned manure. Now, you know what manure is, right, and where it comes from, right? It's stinky cow stuff, okay? And then that's half of it. The other half is garbage from the kitchen, compost, just all the stuff that you don't want, the banana peelings, the rotten fruit, the bad vegetables, all the stuff you normally throw out, you put that in the old compost bin, and then you mix that with manure, and you let that cook for a while, and you throw that on your garden, and you will have the most amazing plant food or seed food that you can imagine. And it's like God is the master gardener, all right? He created that seed. And he put that seed in you. You have a unique expression from God. Could be in the arts, could be in business, like he said, could be in education, could be in science, could be in speaking, it could be in dancing, it could be in flag waving, it could be, you know, it could be in a bunch of different things where you have a unique expression that God gave you that's not like anybody else's. But if you let God take the manure in your life and the garbage and submit it to him and let him process it. Submit it to him and let him process it. It will become the most amazing plant food in your life. And you will not just produce fruit. You will produce super fruit. Okay? This is a zucchini from my garden. It got away from me, but anyway. If anybody wants it, it's yours. Okay. Anyway. Trust him. He's the master gardener. Sometimes we don't want to trust. We don't want to say, but God, I don't want to go there. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to do that. I don't know if I trust you with that. But I exhort you today, trust him with it all. He will use it. He's like every good gardener. He wastes nothing. everything he uses for good in your life if you let him. God bless you.
Can we help it come alive? Can we see the clouds? Can we give him all of our stuff, all of our messes? Give him our compost. Give him what you think are the worst things that ever happened to your life. God actually might turn those around and use them for good. Your sin. All of it. Your mistakes. All of it. Give it all to him. Can we seed these clouds for the rain? Job 36, it says, the vapors go up and the rain comes down. Jeremiah 33 says, call on me, I'll answer you, show you great and mighty things. I will open up that which has been closed. I will do what man would call impossible. Deuteronomy 11, 13 and 14 says this, if you'll return to me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, I will give you the former rain and the latter rain. I will pour water on your wilderness. Stir up your passions for God. There's somebody here today. You're tired. You're worn out. You have nothing to give. I want you to know something. I felt the same way last night. But this morning, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to fill you up for today. And your passions will come alive for today. You just need them for one day. You get filled every day. God never runs out. You can get it again tomorrow. You can get it again the next day. But stir your passions up for the kingdom of God. Stir them. Job says, open your mouth and I'm going to fill it with rain. Hosea says, let us return to the Lord and he will come to us as the rain. The former and latter rain together. Zechariah says, ask for it and I will give it to you. With double portion and showers of rain. You and I cannot humanly manifest or manufacture a mighty outpouring of the spiritual rain to water the seeds. But we can position ourselves. You hear me? We can position ourselves. How do we do that? Give all the junk to God. Give it all to him. Quit hanging on to it. It is not your identity. Your mess is not your identity. It's not who you are. Who you are is a child of God. Who you are has incorruptible seed inside of you. Who you are is a new creation in Christ Jesus. All old things are passed away and life has become brand new. Your mess is not who you are. You are good seeds of the kingdom of God. That's who you are. Quit identifying with the mess. The mess is over. Three people believed it. The mess is over. It's over. It's yesterday. It's gone. Position yourself. Stir your passions. Begin to call upon the name of the Lord and begin to offer up. Listen to me. Vapors go up. Your praise seeds the clouds to water the seed. See, we can all count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. Only God knows how much fruit will come out of your life, will come out of this church, will come out of this city. Only God will know. I was preaching this in Ecuador. I threw the apple up and I said, who wants an apple? A whole bunch of people started raising their hands. And I just launched the apple out into the crowd. I was prophesying over their church there. The seeds of miracles were in their church. I launched the apple out into the crowd and I remember a hand coming up and grabbing it. A man's hand came up and grabbed it. Almost 2 weeks later, I get a text from the pastor of the church, Pastor Samuel. It's a church that our church actually helped pioneer. Samuel sent me a text, said, Steve, when you threw that apple out into the crowd, the man who caught that apple couldn't use the hand that he raised and caught the apple. And he caught the apple, and the power of God went through him, and he was miraculously healed from Parkinson's disease. And listen to me, a revival of healing is broken out in the church there because of the prophetic word of God. So who wants an apple? Oh, I brought one for every section. And by the way, these apples, these are actually off of Barbara's tree. We sang it earlier, believe in miracles. We believe there's power in the seed.